song we used to sing it in children's church 30 years ago. Have you ever heard that song? It goes like this. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Have you ever heard that? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Have you ever heard that song? Everybody ought to know. Amen. I know you're thinking, preacher, stick to preaching and stop singing, all right? But you know what? That's what I'm going to preach on today. Everybody ought to know. I believe that with all my heart. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Do you really not only know about him, do you really know him today? There's a vast difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. Do you have a personal relationship with him? I believe many of you do, but there might be one or two who do not. And today can be an absolute life-changing experience for you. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. I heard about a preacher was preaching one time. One man came in, like Josh is coming in right now. One man came into the service. He was a guest, though, and everybody looked at him, and he was a first-time guest. And the preacher was preaching and preaching and preaching, and then finally the preacher would say, in closing, and finally, and you know how preachers do sometimes, don't say amen there. But anyway, he was saying, in closing, and finally, and then he said, at the very end of the message, he said, I'll tell you what, we can have a board meeting right up here on the front row. We have a board meeting right after the service, a board meeting right up here. And finally, the service ended. Well, the guest, first-time guest, came to this meeting and sat right there on the front row. The preacher was absolutely surprised. And the man came. In fact, he asked the man, he said, sir, he said, you hear me say we're going to have a board meeting after the service? And he said, you're a first-time guest. What are you doing here? And the man said to the preacher, he said, preacher, I'll assure you, there ain't nobody more bored than me today, all right?
I come to the board meeting.
Listen to me. I guarantee you, you're not going to be bored today, all right? You won't be bored today. Everybody ought to know. And I believe there's three looks that you and I can make today that will absolutely change your life. I said they'll absolutely change, guaranteed to change your life. Three looks as we open the blessed word of God. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Everybody ought to know. In the Hebrews chapter 13, as you're turning to the wonderful word of God, in Hebrews 13, may I remind you of who is writing here? Absolutely, there's no certainty, although I personally believe it was Paul. Some say it was Silas, others say it was Barnabas, some say it was Luke. Frankly, it doesn't matter, it's inspired of God. But let me remind you, as we turn to the book of Hebrews today, we're going to take three looks as it will change your life. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you gotten over the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave? The Lord was speaking to my heart this morning, and here's what the Lord was speaking to me about. I've got a feeling that we want resurrection power, but we're not willing to go to the garden nor go to the cross. But there has to be the garden experience. There must be the crucifixion in order to come to the glorious resurrection. We turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And may I remind you, as we progress through the book of Hebrews, that the writer is intending the reader, namely Jews slash Christians, that they need not go back, particularly the Jews, into Judaism, all legalistic lifestyle. Rather, they are to press on to maturity. How many believe that we need to go on to maturity today? How many want to know the Lord more intimately today than you did yesterday? That is the emphasis. Yea, that is the theme of the book of Hebrews. And then furthermore, as the writer progresses through Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who is at sundry times and in divers manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, and by him were made the worlds. And by him he is the exact representation. He is the representation of God. That is the brightness of his glory and the exact person of the Lord God. That is God the Father. We can see him in God the Son. And then Hebrews, the writer, said this. He said, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I love Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Somebody ever doubt, for example, the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or any other cult, that Jesus was indeed God, the deity of Christ, they must read Hebrews 1 and 8, where God said, Thy throne, O Son, is forever. Speaking of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. We're going to make our way to chapter 13 in the book of Hebrews. But we come to chapter 2 and verse 3. And the writer of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We come to chapter 3, verse 13. That we're to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Chapter 4, verse 9. There is a rest that remains to the people of God. That is, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, could not enter into the land of rest because of their unbelief. We come to chapter 5, verse 8. And the Lord said about himself, though he were a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We come to chapter 6, verse 10. And I love this verse. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name in ministering to the saints. How many believe that God will not forgive, or will not forget, rather, one cup of cold water given in his name? We come to chapter 7, verse 25, that Jesus is the great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for the saints. In fact, that is one of the themes integrated in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is superior to the old covenant, to the worship of angels, or anything else, any of the prophets of old. We come to chapter 8, verse 12. And the writer says that God sends our sins in the depths of the sea. I'm glad that he does. Hallelujah. And then we come to chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We come to chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. That the writer said we're to stir up. Watch this now. Listen to me, beloved. We're to stir up. That is, we're to provoke each other to love and good works. That's what he says about the body of Christ. So much more, not forsaking to the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some, so much more as the day approaches. I love chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, verse 1. Faith is the substance, that is the title deed. That is the assurance, that is, faith is the substance, whose hupostasis is the word. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Chapter 11, verse 6. And then we come to chapter 12. Wherefore? Now, anytime you see the word wherefore, you need to ask what it's there for. He's summarizing chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. He then moves from there, that is, he, the writer, inspired by the Holy Ghost, concerning a chastisement of the Lord and other matters. And we come to chapter 13, verse 1 following. He's speaking of love for the brethren. He talks about entertaining strangers unaware. You might entertain angels. And that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I said all that to get down to verse number 11. 11, 12, 13, and 14 are our text today. If you got your Bibles, you'd like to stand with me. Let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 11, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. If you're there, would you say amen? For the bodies of those beasts, and the word zoon or zoon, as the word beast implicates animals, and you'll understand what that means in a moment. In fact, it was the goats that were offered on the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. The word sanctify there is the word hagios, which means to separate or to make holy. I'm glad, praise God, he's sanctifying us moment by moment. Again, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth. Let me pause there. The word let us go forth is in the present tense, means keep on going forth. Not a once and for all deal, rather a continuous process. Let us keep on going forth. Keep on going forth where? Keep reading verse number 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is the Word of God. And what we're going to do is take 3 looks in the Word of God, and then I believe it will absolutely change your life as we once again, afresh and anew, take 3 looks from the text. First, in verse 11 and 12, we're going to look back to the crucifixion. It will change your life. When we look back to the crucifixion, it will change you, transform you. Secondly, when we look around that Christian persecution that's found in verse 13, it will too change your life. And then finally, when we not only look to the crucifixion in the past and look to present day persecution, but thirdly, we look to our final destination. It will change your life. That's found in verse 14. This is the message God gave me to share with you today and this week. And this is what I'm praying and believing. God's going to change us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Let's pray one time, can we? As we commit ourselves, our mind, our will, our emotions to the Lord. Father, we love you now. Praise you for the Word of God. I pray the Word of God will come alive in our heart. We thank you that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. We praise you, Father. You called us such a time as this. And I ask you now for the fresh touch from heaven, the anointing from heaven. Thank you, Father, for the blood that cleanses us. Thank you, Father, for the old rugged cross. Thank you, Father, as we anticipate your glorious resurrection. We ask now you break every stronghold. We pray now, Father God, for freedom and liberty and the releasing of your mighty power and the restraining of principalities and powers as we gather together today. We are hungry, we are thirsty, Lord, and we thank you that you feed us from your precious word. And we say, Lord Jesus, when all is said and done, that you have the preeminence, you have the glory, and we trust you to change lives. We trust you, ask you, believe in you, Father God, that your gospel is still the power and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And God, we thank you now in advance what you're going to do, because it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the text today. Number one, when we look back at the crucifixion, then it will absolutely change your life. When we look back at the crucifixion, notice again in verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 13, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. What is the writer saying? He's taking us back to that Old Testament scene, namely Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. You're well aware of what took place in Leviticus chapter 16, aren't you? You're well aware that the high priest took those 2 goats. One was a slain goat, the other was a scapegoat. No doubt that pictures this particular text. And those slain goats and scapegoats were taken outside the camp. Their bodies had to be burned outside the camp. Wait a minute, I see a parallel there. Jesus had to go outside the camp. But wait a minute, before we progress any further in the message, listen to me. I want to ask you a question. Have you gotten over the fact that Jesus saved you? I said, have you gotten over the fact that Jesus has saved you? I've got a feeling when we talk about the cross and we talk about the resurrection and we talk about the suffering of Jesus, it just goes right over our head. Why we don't appreciate it anymore. Why we don't thank God for his blood anymore. Why we just take it for granted. But God's wanting to break up some new ground in our life today to give us a newfound love and appreciation to the one that loved us and died, hallelujah, on the old rugged cross. I want to take you back to that gruesome scene some 2,000 years ago. I could almost see as they lead Jesus outside the camp. I can almost see the blood running down his head where they wove a crown of thorns and pressed it upon his brow. I can almost see the blood as it splatters on the ground. Oh yes, I can almost see with my mind's eye those cruel, wicked Roman soldiers nailing his hands and his feet to the cross. Yes, I can see the Roman soldiers gambling down and below the cross, gambling for his garments. Yes, I can see his body as it's whipped and as it's beaten with that Roman flagra, a whip that had pieces of bone or metal in it, and further would not restrict to the Jewish custom law, which had only 39 lashes, rather the Roman law, which allowed no restrictions except for to leave a little life in the victim. I can see the flesh as it's ripped open from the body of Jesus. So, oh yes, I can see that scene as the Prince of Glory hangs between heaven and earth. Oh yes, I'm going to take you back to the old rugged cross where the Prince of Glory died. Shh, I can hear the women crying. Can you hear the women crying? I can hear Mary Magdalene as she looks and sees the one who cast out 7 demons in her life. Now he is hanging on a cross. Can you see and hear the shrills and the shrieks of Mary, that is the mother of Jesus? Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold your mother. Oh, yes. It's a terrible time. What looks like an utter defeat, I want you to know, is all in the plan of Almighty God. Oh, when he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Yes, you were there. Not as a innocent bystander, rather as a guilty participant. It was your sin. It was your sin. It was your sin. It was your sin. It was my sin that nailed him to the tree. Yes, Jesus literally became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I want to take you back to that scene as we hear the women saying, look, he's the one. He's the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. I heard him as he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth bound hand and foot. Now look at him. He's nailed to a tree. What is going on? I can hear them as they're saying, what about, remember the time when that man was broken down by life's highway? You know the man, Blind Bartimaeus? Have you ever been broken down on life's highway? There's old Blind Bartimaeus. He says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the women are reminiscing. And I can hear them as they say, mothers around the cross. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, your faith hath made you whole. And blind Bartimaeus began to shout and celebrate that opening of his eyes. Has Jesus ever opened your eyes? I want you to know, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, your eyes have been blinded by the god of this world. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can hear those women as they say, do you remember the time over there? Do you remember that time? That woman that was bent over with the curvature of the spine? Do you remember that woman who could not straighten up? She'd been in that condition for 18 years. I remember Jesus when he put his hands on her and said, woman, thou art loosed. Is there anybody here that needs to get loosed from the world or the flesh or the devil? Is there anybody here that needs to get loose from depression, loose from anxiety, loose from discouragement, loose from lust, loose from bitterness, loose from selfishness? Oh yes, I can hear those women as they say, now Jesus is hanging on a cross. What about the time when he showed up over there at the Pool of Bethesda, recorded in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John? And remember that time? The man is laying down. He's on his his bed. He can't walk. How long has he been in that condition? 38 years. Really? I remember the time when Jesus said, man, will you be made whole? He said, Will I be made whole? Nobody's going to help me in the pool, and everybody gets in my way when I get in the pool. I'm glad that, thank God, when Jesus shows up, you don't need any help. He's the way, the truth, the life, and praise God, he can get you where you need to be. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, yeah. And I can hear him as I say, man, take up your bed and walk. Is there anybody here that feels like, I don't know if I can continue walking? I don't know if I can continue going on, Brother Pastor. Yes. Yes. When we look back at the crucifixion, it changes our life. As a matter of fact, when I think about that horrendous scene, I can see the darkness as it fills the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. God, the Father, dropped a veil, a curtain, as it were, over the whole earth. He could not bear to look at his son literally becoming sin. Such oneness when Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I can feel the earth as it begins to shake. The word of God in the Gospel of Matthew says the earth began to shake. There was an earthquake when the King of Glory was hanging on the cross. He didn't have to go, yet he needed to go. Yes, he did have to go. He died for you and for me, and we've gotten over it. We've forgotten the price that Jesus paid. By the way, it was not just his physical suffering alone that makes the cross so unique. Mind you, the Persians had invented the cross and the Romans had perfected it. It was really utterly the spiritual death that he tasted for every man, while there had been others who died on the cross, but never like one like Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm telling you, this ought to bring a newfound love in our heart. I heard a story about a little girl who was in a house fire. The house caught on fire. And she was literally in her room. She could not get out of her room. The daddy went running in the room. And the girl was saying, Daddy, please help. The house is on fire. Daddy, save me. Daddy, help me. And the daddy went running in the room. The fires had begun to engulf her room. And he, making his way to hearing the voice of his daughter in the smoke-filled house, he grabbed this little girl. And the fire began to scorch his hand and literally catch on his hand. And he ran out of the house with his daughter in his arms. He had saved his daughter from the fire. But consequently, because of the fire, his hand was mangled and it was scarred and it was deformed. And from that point on, he walked with his hand up against his side. In fact, when he reached out to shake your hand, he'd shake it with your left, his left hand rather than his right hand. But every time he did it, that little girl, you know what she'd say? She said, Daddy, Daddy, show him your other hand. And that daddy would bring his other hand that was mangled by the fire and deformed because of his rescuing his daughter. And the daughter would say, Look, I want you to see, my daddy saved me from the fire. Daddy rescued me. And then the time came for the daddy to die. They put him in the casket. They covered up his hand. The funeral directors had his hand that was deformed covered up with his other hand. And the little girl walked by and said, No, I don't want his hand to be covered up. I want people to see that hand. The little girl said, That is the hand that saved my life. Oh, yes. That's the nail. That's the scars in his hand. I want to tell you something. You make your way over to Calvary. You make your way up to a place called Golgotha. You'll see some hands that were pierced and nailed to a tree. I want you to know those hands are what saved this wretched sinner like me. Can I give a testimony? I said, can I give a testimony? I don't know about you, but I know about me. I had one foot in hell, but one foot on the earth. And had Jesus not of mercy reached down and snatched me off the wide and the broad gate, brought me into the straight and the narrow gate. It was he that came looking for me. I was not looking for him. He came looking for me. I want to remind you today, my dear brother, my dear sister, had God not have snatched us off the wide and broad gate and brought us into the straight and the narrow way and put our feet on a solid rock, we'd be lost and undone. We'd probably be in hell today. But God in mercy and God in grace and God in his great love saved us with his own blood. Yes, he did. He did. Yes, he did. Glory be to his name. Glory be to his name. Don't get over it. Don't get over it. You've gotten over it. But when we talk about the cross, I saw two armadillos. Thank God for some minus armadillos. Amen. But I saw them on the road. Some of us today, you're not getting it. You're not receiving it. It's commonplace to you now. When we talk about the cross, it's just the same old, and I'm praying God will quicken in your heart to remember the awful price that Jesus paid to redeem all of us with his own blood. And there's a second look that I think we need to make, and it'll change your life. You see, we got to go to the garden, drink that cup. Before we can go to resurrection power, we've got to go to the cross. Not in the same sense Jesus, but in a like-minded, we can't have resurrection power until we experience his crucifixion in a similar way, not the same way. Granted, not dying for sin, but letting the flesh die to the old man and to the old way. But wait a minute, there's a second look, and it's this. Not only we look back, when we look back at the crucifixion, it changes our lives. Number two, we'll see the text in a moment. When we look around at the Christian persecution, it will change our life. Notice with me again in verse number 13 of the text, Hebrews chapter number 13. Let us go forth. And that phrase again is in the present tense. Keep on going forth. Not once and for all. Let us keep on going forth. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Oh, what is he saying? How many know that when we look around at what's going on in America, it's Christian bastion season in America. Hello, it's Christian bastion season in America. I mean, it seems like on every hand there is something going on, but Jesus said it'd be that way. When we look at America, look at this map that I had brought up. I received it from a newsletter, it's a magazine, 2015, and I want you to see this, beloved, I want you to see this map, and I want you to see, if you'll bring it up, Katie, I have to put it on the screen there, I hope you got the note. There is a map of America. Here is religious liberty and biblical faith decisions. This is recorded by a young lady by the name of Rebecca Wooford. And here's a map of America. And these are different states and cities in America where events have taken place recently in regards to religious freedom, that is, liberty in the Lord as a Christian. I wonder if you bring up that other map. It zeroes in and magnifies it a little bit more. And scroll down, please. Scroll down to look here. Everybody's well familiar with this. Thank you, Katie. Here's the account. How many heard about Kevin Cochran, the fire chief who was fired? I said fired. I don't believe one moment it was for no other reason other than he was a Christian and he wrote a book about how did you know you were naked. Make no mistake. I don't care what the mayor says. It's very obvious he was fired because he was a Christian and he became salt and light in a dark world, and the devil's not going to like that. That's what happened right here. But what about other instances in America? For example, in Mobile, Alabama, the Alabama federal district judge reverses state constitution. What about other events? Right up here. As we look in, you can hold it right here. Here's Washington, D.C. Supreme Court declares the, I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty reading it myself. the marriage act to be unconstitutional. The people voted and said marriage, how many believe that marriage ought to be between a man and a woman? Come on, talk to me.
And yet, here
are things happening in our world, in America, for starters, Richmond, Virginia. The Fourth Circuit Court legalizes same-sex marriages here and other places in our world. What about over here in Houston, Texas? The mayor subpoenas pastors for their sermons. Can you believe it? And then other places, for example, you can see all across America, there are Chicago, Illinois, ministers' housing allowance stays intact. And you can see up here in Chicago, Illinois, again, the Seventh Circuit Court legalizes same-sex marriages. And then in Petersburg, Kentucky, Answers in Genesis deny tax benefits. And over again, up here in New York, there's a farm that refused to cater to a same-sex marriage, and consequently, we're on hot water. I'm telling you, this is happening all across our world. What's going on in America? We are changed when we realize, and not only we look back at the crucifixion of Jesus, but now we look around and see persecution all around us. Well, did they face persecution in the Bible? Absolutely. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose rather to be afflicted with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as some strange thing that happened unto you." I love verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 4. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." I want you to know that Paul wrote to his son in the Lord in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And some of you right now are going through a time of persecution, are you not? Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. "And I want to encourage you, my brother and sister, you are salt." Jesus said, "You're the, not sugar, salt. Salt of the earth and the light of the world." Now that doesn't mean to be belligerent. That doesn't mean to be defiant. It means this. We've got a mandate from heaven. And if any law or anybody contradicts this book right here, I've got freedom and liberty. My conscience dictates me. I'd better obey God than obey men. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, listen, these are days now where remember what Paul said. He said to his son of the Lord, "Endure hardness as good soldiers." Listen, we've been called by our commander and chief. Hello? We are soldiers of the cross, amen? We are not marching to a drumbeat of the devil nor of any other secular institution. We are the blood bought, the blood washed, the redeemed. We've been bought with a price, and our destiny is in heaven. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank God we got the Word of God. We got the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know, even though the day seems dark, thank God there's victory in Jesus. Hang in there, soldier. Keep marching, soldier. Keep marching. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. One day, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm telling you, the Word of God, He just keeps on going on. Listen to me, beloved. Listen to me. I don't care what the president says. Put it on the tape. I don't care what the vice president says. Put it on the tape. I don't care what the Republicans say. Put it on the tape. I don't care what the Democrats say. Put it on the tape. I don't care what the governor says. Put it on the tape. I don't care what the congressman says. I don't care what the mayor says. I don't care what city council says. I don't care what the city county commissioner say. I'm telling you, we've got the Word of God, and we're going to obey the Word of God. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, listen, does this crowd think they can stop God? I said, does this crowd think they can stop God? I would rather try to stop a locomotive. I'd rather say to the wind, stop wind. This crowd cannot stop God.
Jesus said this gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. I want you to know God's not intimidated by people and people in power. Listen, kings have come and gone. Dynasties have come and gone. Popes have come and gone. Presidents have come and gone. Leaders have come and gone. But this book right here stands forever. This book right here, you can't get rid of it. It's God's wonderful, infallible word. It's forever set in heaven. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It's like a hammer that breaks in pieces. You can't stop the word of God. The gospel's going to carry on. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm on the winning team. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, yes. When I look around and see the persecution, religious persecution, it changes me. I realize I'm in a battle, but the battle is the Lord's. And then finally, not only do we look back to the crucifixion and look around at religious persecution, number three, and finally you'll see in verse number 14 that when we look forward to our final destination, it changes us. Look at verse 14, please. In the verse of 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What is this writer saying? What is the Hebrew writer saying? He's saying this. When we look back at the crucifixion, it changes our life. Jesus bearing our reproach, he went outside the camp. He bore our sins outside the camp where the lepers were, where the unclean were. I'm glad he came where I was. Amen. I couldn't get to where he was. He came to where I was. Oh, yes, he did. But finally, when we look forward, how many are looking forward to our final destination? I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. In fact, if you read this blessed book right here, you'll find out that God's got something better for you. Something better for you. I said, if you believe that, God's got something better for you. This is not our home. We're pilgrims passing through. We're sojourners in a land. I'm telling you, God's got something better for you. In fact, if you look over there in the writer to Hebrews, he says that first Enoch and Abel, God had a better place. He being dead, yet still speaking. You know the worst thing could happen to any of us? The worst thing could happen to us is we could die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that could happen to you. Think about it. That's not a bad thing, is it? Hello, not a bad thing at all. If you know Jesus in a personal way, Abel, he had a better place. Enoch, he had a better pursuit. He walked with God and he walked with God and he kept walking with God. He said, I'm going to keep walking with him. I don't care if the world's not walking with him anymore. I don't care if anybody walks with me anymore. I'm going to walk with God. Have you already purposed in your heart you're going to walk with God? No matter who gets mad, no matter who offends, no matter who is in opposition, keep on walking with God. Because for Enoch, it was a better pursuit. For Abel, it was a better place. For Noah, it was a better protection. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah had a better protection. Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the book of Genesis chapter 10 became the offspring that would populate the world. But wait a minute, for Abraham, it was a better promise. Oh, yes, it was. God called him in the Ur of the Chaldees to come and make a circumcision covenant. Out of his seed would come a great nation. Out of his loins would come the Savior of the world. For Abraham, it was a better promise. For Jacob, it was a better power. I'm telling you, God's got something better for you. You don't think he does, but I got news for you, he does. The best is yet to come. I'm telling you, child of God, look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Yes, you might be in a battle now, but the battle is the Lord's. You might feel discouraged now, but think about going to that city that lies four square. Think about the rewards of seeing Jesus. I'm telling you, it'll be worth it all. There in the book of Genesis, Jacob, he wrestled with the angel and God gave him a better power. As a matter of fact, he changed his name from Israel to, from Jacob to a prince that prevails with God. I'm telling you, God's got something better. He's got something better for you. Over there in the book of Genesis, there is Joseph.
Joseph, God had a better
purpose for him. Joseph, you're not going down, you're going up. It looked like everything was going wrong for Joseph. Not so. God said, Joseph, I got a better purpose for you. I'm going to bring you up from Potiphar's to the pit, and from the pit to Potiphar's, and from Potiphar's to prison, and from the prison to prime minister of Israel. I'm telling you, when you look to the Lord and you trust in the Lord and you believe in God and you put your life in His hands and you cast your burden on Him, He knows how to give us what we need. Amen and amen and amen. But wait a minute. Over there, Moses, God had a better position. Moses, Moses, don't you know that any old bush will do as long as God is in it? And God called Moses such a time as that. But over there, for Joshua, it was a better possession. You're going over the promised land. And then for Ruth, it was a better plan. I've got news for you. God's got something better for you. I said, God's got something better for you. How many has God been good to you? Let me see your hand. How many have been blessed by the Lord? Let me see your hand. How many say, I want to say, God, you sure been good to me. You sure have saved me with your blood. Lord, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I just am grateful you didn't leave me in the condition I was. Why, some of us would still be on dope if God had left you like you were. Some of you still be on the bottle if God had left you like you were. Some of you still be on skid row if God had left you like you was. But He, in love and mercy and grace, decided to give you a new heart and a new home and a new family. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Everybody ought to know about Jesus. Everybody ought to know about Jesus. Everybody ought to know about Jesus. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. Go and tell them how great things God had done. And the church said,
yes, everybody.
They ought to know. Would you stand to your feet today?